You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This here is the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live on the Odyssey app. We are on YouTube at the Team 980. You can also now stream us on iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. So wherever you're finding us, thanks for making us a part of your day. And now it's time for Not My Beat. Anthony, good gracious, bro. What? See, what had happened was, All right, before we bring in Mitch Tischler, or while we bring in Mitch Tischler, Anthony, what happened?
I just had a lot going on. I'm not going to lie. I'm hitting a lot of buttons, and I accidentally just clicked the Not My Beat image.
That's twice that's happened in, like, the last week. You never did that.
I know.
What happened? Well, I mean, I know I was on some vacation. I came back. You were on vacation, came back. About that time, man. Summer's almost over.
It is, sadly.
All right, Bradley. Mitchell, what do we have to do to Anthony since he can't seem to focus on the show?
See, I think this is Chris Russell's fault. I don't blame Anthony. Anthony doesn't make those mistakes. It's got to be somebody else's fault. I'm blaming it on Chris.
I think that's probably the correct answer. When in doubt at this radio station, it's Chris Russell's fault. Mitchell Tischler, everybody, Beltway Football Podcast co-host, is with us from New England. And Mitchell, I will say you're the perfect person to have on today because it seems like the best thing about the Commanders today with some of the line play, O-line maybe a little bit more of a mixed bag than the D-line, but when it comes to the Commanders offensive line, first of all, who was playing where today without Brandon Coleman in the mix, and how did they do pass pro wise, how did they do in some of the team run stuff, where I did hear that Laremy Tunsil perhaps put a New England Patriot somewhere in the stands?
I think that was tongue-in-cheek, put him in the stands, but you took me right where I wanted to go, because today was a really good day for the Commanders O-line. You started with the starting five was Tunsil, Wiley, Biadasz, Allegretti, and Connerly. And we can start with Tunsil because I think that's a good place to start at. You know, I think it gets lost in camp how good he is just because he's kind of a set-it-and-forget-it type guy. But today there were the two plays. There's the play that JP tweeted about, where he, in the run game, he drove a linebacker on the second level, quote unquote, into the stands. When I say into the stands, more like off the playing field, you know, kind of, it was a really nice block from him. And I think for all the talk about him not being a good run blocking tackle, I think it's a little overstated. He might be a better pass blocker, but he's shown some really good stuff in the run game. And then the second play from him that was great was, they're running one-on-one drills against the Patriots D-line. And I'm not sure exactly which D-lineman. I believe it was Christian Barmore, but don't quote me on that. one-on-one drill against Laramie and tried to use the speed around the edge. Laramie got a one-hand left-handed punch on him and just put him directly into the dirt. And it was, I mean, just stopped him cold and took him to the ground. And Laramie was standing there like, okay, like, Laramie, let's go. Goes and runs back to the line of scrimmage. Now, that being said, the very next play, he was called for a holding penalty by the refs. And, you know, Laramie didn't necessarily think that that was a hold. And, you know, one thing I love about having the refs in practice is after the session is over, Laramie's able to go over, talk to the ref, ask the guy kind of what he saw and whatnot. And so, you know, he gets a feel for what they were looking at. But to me, the standout today, just based on, you know, play that we saw in camp versus what we saw here, was Josh Connerly. He just looked really strong in the one-on-one drills, stood up well against some bull rushes, did well with Harold Landry, who's the former Titans edge rusher, outside linebacker, DN, whatever you want to call him, who tried to use some speed on him. You know, but once he's been practicing against Von Miller and the get off that Von has, you know, Landry's another guy who has a ton of speed and quickness, but Connerly was able to take him and ride him out beyond the pocket over top of where the quarterback was. And then when you start getting on the 11-on-11s, you know, the Patriots were, I wouldn't say like blitzing or doing anything crazy up front, but they were running some TE stunts and some twists and stuff like that. And I thought Connerly just did a really good job of being strong at the point of attack, but also using his head and recognizing, you know, as he was riding a defensive end towards the inside of the line, to look for that looping defensive end, a defensive tackle or linebacker, whoever was coming. And he did a good job of, you know, showing that athleticism, speed, quickness that allows him to shuffle inside to the left a couple steps, turn, get back to the right, change of direction, and still be able to get a piece and get a chip on a guy who's coming around the edge there. So, you know, a lot of the athleticism that we know he has from the RAS scores and from watching him, you know, last year, I think is starting to translate over to the right side. And I think, you know, that's the important thing as fans have maybe read or heard some folks saying that Connerly hasn't been great at right tackle. You have to remember that he is learning a new position. And, you know, the biggest thing you can point to is, you know, when he's kick-stepping as a left tackle, which he's done all of his life, he's pushing off hard on his right leg, planting on his left, and getting in position there. As he moves over to the right, it's just opposite feet, opposite legs that he has to use, and it takes a little bit of time to kind of understand, you know, what those dynamics look like. And I think we're starting to see it come together here, and it was really great to see it happen, you know, against another football team. And all that being said, the Patriots were the worst team at getting to the quarterback last year. So it's not like they're necessarily facing the stoutest defensive line, but at the same time, you want to see these guys win in situations where their heads up, and Connerly and Tunsil certainly did that today.
Mitch Tischler with us here on the Hoffman Show. The other big thing for Connerly that he's going to continue to get better at is not only is your kick step opposite, but where your eyes and like how you're moving your head and getting your eyes in the right place is obviously opposite as well. So learning not only NFL schemes, but, you know, nothing is familiar because you're on the opposite side is going to be the learning curve there. Where does Wiley fit in the rotation? He's obviously in at left guard, you said, right now with Brandon Coleman not practicing. Assuming Coleman's back and ready for the regular season, do you think he winds up starting at right guard, pushing Allegretti out? Is Allegretti going to start as long as Cosme's not ready? Is Wiley still in the mix to start at right tackle?
Yeah, so I think today was a big step forward for Connerly. So, like, maybe I'm starting to go towards as long as Brandon Coleman is healthy, then maybe Wiley is the right guard and Connerly is the right tackle. But I think if the season started tomorrow, Wiley is probably your starting right tackle. And you see a little bit of that early season rotation like we saw on the left side last year with Brandon Coleman at tackle until they ultimately get comfortable with all that. But I do think it's going to be interesting to see how it kind of plays out at that right guard position in that kind of limited time between when the season starts and when Cosme's able to come back. Allegretti was up and down, I would say, today, and I think we could probably say that from last season as well. You know, there are some really good reps. There are some really bad reps. But I think the totality of the O-line this year, regardless of who starts the season at right guard, I think should be a much more solid unit than they were last year. I think last year they were bailed out a lot by, you know, Cliff Kingsbury taking care of them with the running backs and the tight ends, with the chips and the staying in the block, but also obviously with Jaden Daniels being as athletic as he is in the backfield. Today, we didn't see Jaden take off and run at all at any one time during the 11-on-11 drill, because he had a nice pocket that he could step up in and sit and wait and read. Now, there were other issues with the offense, with kind of the non-Debo Samuel wide receiver group, you know, not creating a lot of separation and not being able to get particularly open. But, you know, you hope that that changes with Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown, you know, being available. And then, you know, maybe you're kicking both Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane more into kind of a slot type role, or, you know, playing on the outside when they start getting gadgety with Debo, kind of whatever they end up doing. There's a lot of stuff that we're watching now that, you know, just kind of changes dramatically with the addition of Terry McLaurin and with the addition of Noah Brown getting back into full practice and 11-on-11 stuff. So they've looked good. I thought the offense looked good today. If you look at the four units, like the Commanders offense, Patriots offense, Commanders defense, Patriots defense, the Commanders offense was the best group of the four at practice today. And if this was a game, they would have scored a number of points.
that's good. We like points. And it seems like Jaden was definitely, I mean, the line, as you said, played well. I did feel like I saw a couple of things where there were some pressures happening and Jaden was just able to get rid of it because he's that good. But on the receiver front, Mitch, it's not like Christian Gonzalez and Carlton Davis were out there either. So New England was down their two top corners. So with that being said, like, what level of concern do we have with these non-McLaurin, non-Noah Brown, non-Debo Samuel wide receivers, knowing that, yes, they were being asked to do more than they will optimally do, but they were being asked to do it against a like level on the depth chart on the other side?
Yeah, I mean, I think it showed up the most in the two-minute drill session at the end of practice, where the Commanders weren't able to get into the end zone there, with the inability to kind of separate or make those contested catch type plays. Because as you get, you know, in a more compressed area of the field, you know, you want your best players out there, and those are the guys that are going to go out and make plays. And obviously Terry McLaurin is a part of that. You know, I think with both Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane, they probably trend more towards slot receivers than they do necessarily outside receivers, and maybe Jalen Lane a little more on the outside. But I look at those two guys who are going up against corners who are smaller bodied, quicker players. But if they were in the slot going up against either linebacker or safety types, I think that their quickness and their ability to use their speed, I think is a little bit more effective. And so I think we're seeing these guys play a little bit out of position, and not that, you know, they might not be asked to do that during the season, but not play after play after play after play. And ultimately, if I think of Luke as more of a slot guy, I can see, you know, a little bit of what he's doing now and how it could translate if he's up against a safety versus a corner who's out there. And, you know, and that's where I think, you know, the advantage is for really both of those guys at this point in camp. The concern level of Terry and or Noah or both are not there at the start of the season is, at least as far as the receivers go, extremely high. But all that being said, when Jaden Daniels is your quarterback, he can put a Band-Aid on a lot of different problems. And, you know, the way that he delivers the football to these guys is wild to watch. You know, we get used to watching it here as we were watching it with, you know, some of these Patriots reporters and folks that were around for the Brady years. Not that they're comparing Jaden to Brady. We're not going there. But they were talking a lot about the speed with which Jaden reads the field, knows where he wants to go with the ball, and gets rid of it. They felt was, you know, kind of Brady-esque in that he was just, you know, he's so confident and so, you know, so good at knowing kind of who's going to be open or who should be open, that he's able to, you know, use his eyes to move safeties and linebackers to a particular part of the field, knowing that he wants to ultimately go to whether it's Zach Ertz, you know, on a seam route or whatever. But Zach Ertz also today was just fantastic. And we've seen it in camp. he's just such a safety blanket for Jaden. So quick off the ball. He does such a good job of using his big body to wall off these linebackers and safeties that are ultimately covering him. And his hands are so sure. It's really impressive to watch.
Yeah, the Ertz stuff, the fact that you have coaches saying, I think he's better this year than he was last year, the footwork. Like, I'm sorry, what? That can't be possible. He's supposed to have mastered the dark arts of route running. How is he getting better at them? Mitch Tischler's with us here on the Hoffman Show. So, Mitch, the secondary has been a real bright spot in camp in Ashburn. Today, I think I saw the numbers where Dobbs went like 13 of 15, May went like 10 of 12 in their two respective team periods for the Patriots backup and starting quarterback. So are we all of a sudden like, whoa, wait a second. Is this maybe because of the receiving quality that we just talked about in Washington that the DBs looked really good? Was it kind of an off day, or was it not that bad and it was a bunch of checkdowns and let's not read too much into those numbers?
Probably a little from column A, a little from column B. Drake May looked really good. He looked way better today than, the limited that I saw him last year. He was decisive with the football, and he did a good job of finding open receivers. DeMario Douglas, their slot receiver, was going up against Mike Stainer still, and DeMario Douglas had a very good day. He's very shifty. He does a good job of getting open. I think as we were watching it, there was a lot of man-to-man from the Commanders, very, very little zone. And so, you're seeing a lot of that kind of, mano-a-mano type thing. And, obviously you want your guys to win in those situations more often than maybe they did today. But you're also, not taking the quarterback down. You're not sacking the quarterback. You're not, doing those sorts of things. And so May had some time. So there was, some training camp plays, some plays that ended up being, receptions or long catches that probably would have been a sack, a throwaway. Maybe May would have had to tuck it and run a couple times, but there were, individual, I would say, plays where all three of the corners, Amos, Sainristill, and Lattimore all kind of got beat on different routes. But I think it was kind of spread out. Maybe it's a good thing or a bad thing. It was spread out between the three of them. Amos was lined up a lot with Stephon Diggs, and I just thought it was a really good test for him. Not that Diggs is going to necessarily beat you with speed over the top anymore at this point in his career, but he's a crafty vet. He knows what he's doing. And Amos did a good job when they were jamming at the line of scrimmage of getting his hands on him and kind of staying in his hip pocket, kind of right behind him. And then secondly, he did a really nice job on a couple of deep balls. Certainly in the red zone, there were some extended quarterback plays, which maybe Drake May makes during the regular season. Maybe he doesn't. And Amos does a really good job of staying with receivers. And when he sees those receivers flash their hands, he whips his head around and is able to get his hands on in between the receiver's hands or on the ball as he goes to make plays. Lattimore on the other side, I thought was a little more consistent in terms of the play and the deep ball that he got beat on was he was reading the quarterback's eyes, thinking it was going to be a little bit of a quicker pass, and, ultimately his guy was able to get over top of him. That's one of those that I think you kind of, learn from, and you see these guys wanting to fill the Joe Witt, Dan Quinn style of football, which is turnovers, 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 go get those picks, go get those picks. And ultimately, Mikey had a pick right at the end in two-minute drill on a tip ball from Bobby Wagner, which is a really nice play. And so, we're 2 weeks into camp. We're still a month away from the first regular season game. I think you're seeing, training camp is the time for these guys to try and go out and make plays and do, quote unquote, a little bit extra. And then, kind of see what is too much versus, what is aggressive. And so I think we saw a little bit of that today. The Commanders' defense wasn't as good as the Pats' offense, but ultimately I think that some of that was playing an ultra aggressive style, and we're going to see a little bit less of that come the regular season.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And then I think the other thing too to remember is like guys just try stuff in especially if you're a guy like Lattimore is a vet, like you're trying stuff. You're seeing what you can get away with in a way that's different than you will in the regular season. So it's sometimes it's really, really hard to judge how well any particular player is playing in this time of the calendar. Last thing for Mitch Tischler. We start in the trenches. We end in the trenches. D-line, the much maligned Commanders D-line. I feel like I saw they had a pretty good day today, all in all. How did they do?
Yeah, what I care about most, and I know getting after the quarterback is going to be an important piece, and I know that's where the quote-unquote edge angst comes from. But in the run game, you are seeing a much more disciplined front four, and I think you're seeing the defensive ends are playing the run to get to the pass. So by that, I mean they weren't running situational third and longs where they could pin their ears back and just get off and go after the quarterback. But you see these guys run, you know, working through a tackle to get to the quarterback as opposed to running around the tackles to get to the quarterback. And that's an important step in that, you know, we talk about setting an edge and not letting the running backs get to the edge where they're one-on-one with a DB or a, you know, an outside backer or whoever. You're seeing them kind of set that edge on the outside, forcing running backs back into the middle, back into the traffic that's there. And one of the things that I like a lot, you're seeing, you know, with Johnny Newton and Deron Payne, you know, they're doing a good job of not, I would say, chasing stats, if you will, not chasing quarterback pressures and sacks. They're cognizant of needing to create a situation that, you know, Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu can flow freely without offensive linemen getting to the second level to block them. And so, you know, when I think in the game, we won't see a lot of starters, but I think as we get to maybe the second preseason game and we see some more situational stuff, we'll see guys, you know, we'll see more of the pass rush moves and their ability to get to the quarterback. Dietrich Wise, who played here in New England since he was drafted, I think, in 2017, had a really nice move in the one-on-one drills. He had a swim move over a tackle and, you know, would have gotten at least to the quarterback or his hands on the quarterback. You know, we know who Von Miller is. You know, I think I'm seeing a little bit more from Dorrance Armstrong. I think you can see these guys learning from Von. You're seeing when these edges are using their speed, they're getting low as they get around the edge, not giving tackles a whole lot of body to block. And I think Dorrance specifically, I've seen a lot more use of speed, but also like using that speed well, not just, you know, being a cannon being shot at, you know, 10 yards into the backfield. So I thought both lines looked good today. I think the O-line looked better, but I thought the D-line had some good moments, and I really like seeing the discipline there because ultimately, if they can slow down the run, I would put Jaden Daniels in this offense in a shootout against any team in the NFL and think that they're going to have a chance to win. And when I say any team, that includes all the other quarterbacks, you know, that folks are thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that at times last year. Obviously, Jaden's coming out party was a shootout against Joe Burrow. So just, you know, let's give five a shot. Give five a chance. Things will happen. Mitch Tischler live in New England, Beltway Football Podcast, where you can get even more thoughts from him and JP Finley. What are you guys doing on your off day tomorrow? Foxborough is not the most exciting place. You're going to go to Boston. You're going to get down to Rhode Island. What are we doing on the off day tomorrow, Mitchell?
Foxborough is maybe the least exciting city. I mean, saying that
it's basically a neighborhood. Calling it a city is giving it far too much credit, respectfully.
Right. It's there's not a whole lot here. I'm actually flying back tomorrow. I'm not hanging out for the game. We'll be doing our Beltway football coverage afterwards. But even yesterday, we had some delayed flights getting into town, trying to find somewhere reasonable, decent to go get a bite to eat and maybe a beverage or two. The places are few and far between. But the folks that have four nights here up in Foxborough, I feel for them.
Yeah. Just go knock on some random person's door and be like, hey, I'm in town. We can park in your driveway. You got a beer? And see what happens. I feel like JP would actually do that. I should probably not put that out into the universe, or JP Finley is going to be knocking on random people's doors in Foxborough. Anyway, Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast with JP. Check out their coverage on the Monumental Sports app and anywhere you get your podcast. Mitchell, thank you, sir. Safe travels back, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Mitch Tischler here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, there is nobody, and I do mean nobody, I would have been more excited to have on recently to talk about the biggest story that is happening in the Commanders universe. Terry McLaurin's contract situation, conversation with CBS sports analyst and former NFL agent Joel Corey next on the Hoffman Show.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Hoffman Show, we are on the Team 980, streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio. And of course, you can also watch us live on YouTube at the Team 980. Our pleasure now to welcome to the show Joel Corey, former NFL agent. You probably heard him talk contracts either on the station or on many other outlets before. He is the best in the game doing it, and we are very happy to have him. Because Joel, I don't know if you've heard, but there's a receiver here that is still here in D.C. while the team is in New England, and he would like a new deal. So I'm very appreciative of your time. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to kind of start at the end, if we can. We can get into the details, and we should, and I have a lot of kind of more detail-oriented questions that I think you are one of the few people who can answer in a second. But it does feel like this thing is going to head towards Terry signing some kind of extension in the $28 to $30 million range for probably 3 years with, let's say, plus or minus $5 million guaranteed from the $60 million that DK Metcalf got, whether he winds up going over or under, TBD. And those details matter. But is there an outcome that you see outside of that range that is possible, or do you kind of agree with the consensus here that that's where this is headed?
Yeah, I agree, except for one thing. I have a hard time seeing Terry signing for less than T. Higgins for one reason. T. Higgins signed for $28.75 million per year. He's the top of the number two receiver market. He might be a number one receiver someplace else, but not in Cincinnati because of Jamar Chase. Terry Higgins is your number one receiver, so that's a bar that I think is his minimum. Obviously, he's going to want over $30 million, but yeah, generally, I agree with what you're saying.
Okay, so if we agree that's the case, the devil then becomes in the details. And I've spent a lot of time trying to explain to folks the best that I can at my knowledge level about kind of how that DK Metcalf $33 million a year number is on some level a fake number, right? It's inflated by a final year that is not guaranteed, and there's basically no way that DK Metcalf is going to see that, but it pumps up the AAV and it's a good headline for the agent. I know that's something that you tried to avoid as an agent. You were someone who was very focused, and I urge you talk about this with Robert Mays when you guys did that big show back in June about the salary cap, where you're like, give me the substance of the deal. But if I guess my question would be, Joel, if that's important to Terry, What would stop Adam Peters from giving him an equally fake final year on an extension to get the AAV number up there so that kind of everybody wins? The team gets the numbers that work for their cap sheet. The cash flow is right, and the agent gets the headline, and Terry gets the respect, if you will, of being a $30 million receiver.
Yeah, there's nothing really preventing that. You're right. That's something I didn't want to do. I looked at the deal is the deal. I don't need a fake year to inflate it. That also gets to be used for recruiting purposes because parents, prospective NFL players don't really know the granular details. Because if you take out DK Metcalf last year, the deal average is basically 32.1. So I would imagine that's where the Commanders are saying, no, it's not almost 33. This is what it is. In Pittsburgh, Metcalf got something which rarely happens. They got into the 21st century and out of the dark ages with contracts in 2021 with TJ Watt. That was the first time that they did guarantees that weren't just injury for a veteran contract. Ben Roethlisberger, the most he ever had were injury guarantees, not skill and cap guarantees where money was fully guaranteed. Metcalf is the third guy who has a fully guaranteed salary in the second year. It's happened to Watt now twice and Minkah Fitzpatrick a couple of years ago. So this is unusual for Pittsburgh. He's got $60 million guaranteed through the first 2 years. He's got a small fifth day or third day league year roster bonus in the third year and like $20 million guaranteed for injury. So that's where the $80 million number comes from. But it's really 60 in what I call true guarantees.
Do you think that McLaurin will wind up getting that number, or do you think he will wind up slightly under that number?
Well, I think whatever's in the first 2 years is going to be fully guaranteed at signing. The question becomes, is there going to be a guarantee in the third year? And if so, guaranteed for injury, and then when does it vest? What you want from a player standpoint, agent standpoint, you want a third or fourth year guarantee to vest a year early. So in this case, you'd want the 2027 guarantee, whatever amount it is, if there is any, to go from being injury guaranteed to fully guaranteed the third day of the league year in 2026, not when that year comes up in 2027.
Joel Corey, analyst for CBS Sports, is with us, former NFL agent. No one knows the contract game better. On, I think the outside, a lot of us look at the situation not from one side or the other. Like, I know the arguments the team will make. I know the arguments Terry's side will make. But if you kind of look at them in total and look at the big picture, Joel, I look at the Commanders' cap sheet and I go, they got room. Like, they do have some guys they're going to need to sign next year. A lot of people talk, and I even did this early on before listening to some smarter people about it, full hand up mea culpa on that, but like talks about the Jaden extension. Well, the Jaden extension doesn't have to have a big number in the first year. The big numbers are going to be a couple years probably into that extension. When you're negotiating a contract with the team, how much credence do you give to what their cap situation is, where you might tell a client like, hey man, they really are kind of squeezed, versus a situation like this where you might look at their cap sheet and be like, why can't you give my guy what he wants?
Well, something I used to ask the team if they were saying, citing cap constraints, you tell me what cap number you need in the first year, in the second year for our deal, and I'll try to figure out a way that works for all of us to try to overcome that objection. But you are right in this situation. One, they don't pay anybody over $25 million per year right now. And two, when Daniels gets signed, presumably they'll do it as early as possible. So that would be in 2027. The cap number is not going to spike tremendously that first year, and maybe not in the second year. And in the third year is where you'll see the big jump. By then, Terry's going to be on his way out.
Right. So if you are on the Adam Peters side of this equation,
and you have the room to pay him now. A lot of times in these deals, as you well know, but for the audience, Joel, what teams will do is they will try to bring the number down in the first year. There's a heavy cash flow because of the signing bonus, obviously. It's like, hey, here's your sign, here's your check. But they'll try to bring the base number down, and that way you have a low cap number in the first year of an extension. The Commanders are in a peculiar position in that they've got a ton of room right now. If you were on the agent side of it, or if you're considering this from Adam Peters' side of it, would you say, like, hey, we're willing to give you a nice little base year bump in 2025 because we have the room to do it? Is that something that's a legit negotiating topic here?
Yeah, from the player standpoint, you really don't care as long as the money is secure. But to try to sell it to the team to get what you want or something done, you might propose, maybe I don't need a big signing bonus. We can keep the cap number close to the same, or maybe even increase this year's cap number to give you guys, the Commanders, more flexibility to get out of the deal sooner rather than later, because you wouldn't have as much dead money as if you gave them a huge signing bonus.
So when you look at the Commanders, you know, I think a lot of people also look at the Commanders situation next year, this offseason, and say, well, if Terry plays out of his contract, then they could just franchise tag him. But they also have Marshawn Lattimore is going to want a new deal. They also have Laremy Tunsil is going to want a new deal. I guess those guys aren't technically expiring, but like, how much of the, is there an anvil hanging over Terry McLaurin's head with that potential franchise tag? And what does that do to these negotiations?
Yeah, he probably doesn't want a franchise tag, because then you're talking about trying to get a deal a year later. And if age is already a concern, it'll be more of a concern next year, especially if he has some sort of drop statistically. And if he does have a drop, then you wouldn't franchise him anyway. That number is going to be slightly over $30 million the way the franchise tag provisions work. It's going to be 120% of his prior year's salary, but that typically means cap number, not actual salary in this case. And if the Commanders have brought up, well, we could franchise him, the agent should know what that number is. And he's like, well, that's $30 million. If you're going to franchise them for $30, why can't we do a deal in that range? Yeah, you're going to have those two guys, particularly Tunsil. Lattimore, I don't know if it was the injuries with the leg injuries last year, but he didn't look like the Lattimore they thought they were getting when they traded for him. So he needs to play a lot better than he did last year for a contract to be a consideration. Tunsil is in a contract year in 2026, so I presume that's going to be a top priority in the offseason, if not sooner.
Yeah, they've got Frankie Louvu, who is running out of guaranteed money as well, Daron Payne. So there are plenty of guys that are going to be wanting new money, and it'll be on Adam Peters to get the cap sheet in order. Joel Corey with us for another few minutes here on the Hoffman Show. Joel, Terry, as I'm sure you saw, held that big, long press avail at the commercial shoot a couple weeks ago. And one of the points he made that I thought was interesting, I don't know how much validity it is, that's ultimately going to be my question here, is it's interesting that he brings up the fact that he didn't play really a ton his first 2 years at Ohio State, that despite the fact that he is turning 30 in September, that he just doesn't have the mileage of a typical 30-year-old, and thus he doesn't feel like he should be subjected to the statistical predictions that the analytics heavy front office that the Commanders have are probably putting on him. How much validity do you think that argument holds for you? Because I think we know how much it holds with the team, and that is not very much.
Yeah, it's a fair point to raise. I did help represent someone who didn't have a ton of NFL mileage because of the way his career started in Jimmy Smith. He didn't do anything his first 3 years. And once he turned 30, he played, I think, seven seasons, and six out of the seven, he had over 70 catches and 1,000 yards. So I can kind of see where he's coming from. But from what I understand, the new regime, ever since the ownership change, is more analytically driven. So, and then in the past, so they're looking at, okay, 31, here's what we kind of expect, or here's what's happened historically, 32, 33, and that's where the reluctance comes from. Although he can say, I had the best year of my career last year. I've been remarkably consistent. I'm durable, and I'm not slowing down.
Right. So that's an interesting point to raise too, because I think the team would say, yeah, like, we got you the quarterback,
and that's why you had the best year. Terry's like, well, this is what I can do with a great quarterback. That guy's not changing. Do you fall on a particular side of veracity of those seemingly, you know, kind of two sides of a coin argument?
Yeah, I fall more on him because he can say, well, I'm quarterback proof because he had a rotating cast of less than stellar quarterbacks, and he still, last year was his fifth straight 1,000-yard right. season. So not every receiver can say that they can be productive regardless of who throws in the football. So here's what you get when you get me what looks to be a franchise quarterback. I'm only scratching the surface with this guy and Jaden Daniels. So what I'm expecting to do bigger and better things is where he's going to go with that.
And then last but not least, Joel, I don't know how much you know about this and the scuttlebutt and this, that. So answer this however you like. There's been a lot of criticism of Terry's agent, and some of it has been more specific than others. So what have you made of whatever you've heard of the job that Terry's agent is doing representing his client in these negotiations and what an agent's job is in a situation like this?
Well, an agent's job is to execute your client's wishes. So you kind of take your cues from your client. The trade request should only only come if that's what the client wants. A lot of times you'll see trade requests made out of frustration and the player really wants to be there. You can say what you want about Buddy Baker, but he did get a job. He did get a deal done once with the Commanders, different regime, and it was done without a holdout. So if he's holding everything to the guys in McLaurin's draft class, A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf, you got to look at the entire universe of the receiver market and not just tie it to those specific guys.
That's interesting, too. Obviously, it's a wide swath right now. You have it exploding at the top end. You have guys like Evans and Sutton taking what seem like far lesser deals compared to what McLaurin wants. And then I think the T. Higgins point is a great one, too, in terms of where the wide receiver one, wide receiver two cutoff is. So, Lord willing, this thing ends soon. Again, to wrap it all the way around, it feels like we all know where it's headed. It's just a matter of everyone arriving there that needs to. Joel, great stuff on this and all the other coverage you're doing elsewhere. I've heard you comment on Micah and all the other stuff. So really appreciate your time and your expertise, and we'll hopefully have you again on down the line.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That is our pleasure. Joel Corey, everybody, from CBS Sports. When we get back, we react to that here on the Team 980.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We got a pick six at six coming up at, well, 6 o'clock, because that's when the pick six happens. We will run through some of the big storylines of the day from Commanders joint practice against the New England Patriots, what Dan Quinn had to say about playing time today versus what you'll see on Friday. plus Jonathan Jones, Dietrich Wise, the two former Patriots, spoke. And we'll just run through some of the big kind of highlights of the day. So we'll get all that and try to answer some of the questions that we brought up yesterday during the pick six next, coming up at 5 o'clock. I just will reiterate again to follow up on the Joel Corey discussion. The details of this contract are obviously tremendously important. Where does the money get shifted? What's front-loaded? Is there anything in the back end? How much dead money or how much fake money is in the back end? What does that do to the AAV number so that it's a good headline for Terry and the agent? You get kind of the status of being a $30 million receiver or not. And then functionally, what does it really do for Terry's bank account, the cash flow? If I was him, that's what I would care the most about. And I'm sure he cares about that quite a bit. And then also, what does it do for the Commander's cap sheet? And there was on the Russell show today, Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio was on, and I don't know where he got his information from, but he suggested that the two sides are roughly $6 million a year apart. And if one side is sitting at 27 and one side is sitting at 33, the middle of that is 30. And it just doesn't, that's what I just don't understand is like, where is this huge discrepancy on where the middle ground needs to be? Is there one side and thus is the other side equally? If one side's not going to budge, if one side, let's say, you know, the team has been like 27. Nope, we're not going higher. 27. Then the Terry side doesn't have any impetus to be like, okay, we'll meet you. If we've been saying 33, oh, we'll meet you at 31. No, 27 is what we said. Like, what is one side playing hardball? These are the things that we don't know, which is why I've tried to stay away from assigning blame to one side or the other, saying that Terry's side is being selfish or Adam's side is being unreasonable, the team side, the player side, whatever. I think Terry should get what he's worth. I think he's probably worth roughly around $30 million based off of who he is. And I think that if you can make that less so about that $30 million hitting in 2026 and 2027 and like get him some more money this year since you have the room, bring his cap number up, have a decent enough cap number next year, and then a funny money year at the end to bring it up even more. Or can you spread it out even over, say, like a full three-year extension, so 4 years total, this year plus three new ones. That third year has a little bit of guarantees. Fourth year has nothing guaranteed. I think that's a good way to go about it. In fact, I think that's probably the best way to go about it. Like 3 years, $90 million of new money on paper that functionally gets you about $60 million total, mostly in the first 2 years, including this year. So some of that is new money that's kind of in year zero, aka this year. That feels like where this is headed. It feels like the right thing. It feels like the middle ground between the two sides. What the holdup is, that is the thing that remains a mystery. When we get back, joint practice recap, pick six style here on the Team 980.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple,
but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.